Health News Florida has launched Price Check, aimed at bringing clarity to the cost of health care in Florida. This is Florida Matters.
Support for Florida Matters comes from the Hospitals of BayCare Health System, providing more than 100 health seminars, classes, and events each month. BayCare's mission is to build a healthier Tampa Bay. Register for a complimentary health seminar, class, or event at baycareevents.org.
From the Donna Studio at WUSF Public Media, I'm Carson Cooper. You buy a car knowing how much it costs. You know what you'll be paid before taking a job. But do you know how much, say, an MRI will be? It's a simple question with a very complex answer. The cost depends on insurance, deductibles, copays, and where you get the MRI. It's that way for a lot of healthcare. Real prices are complicated and oftentimes secrets. That's why Health News Florida, WUSF, and WLRN have launched an online guide to bring clarity to healthcare costs. Price Check Florida is a database of prices of common healthcare procedures. You can search it on healthnewsflorida.org, and you can contribute information about the price you paid. So, what exactly do we mean when we talk about healthcare costs? Health News Florida's Sammy Mack gets us started.
If you want to get a sense of just how tangled up and squirrely healthcare pricing is, listen to how these Florida lawmakers talked about it at a bunch of different healthcare meetings on just one day in January.
Healthcare is the only place where the charge doesn't match what's collected.
I'm really thrilled at this growing realization that billed is one number, charge is another, collected is yet another, cost base is yet another. We're beginning to appreciate that these are all quite separate from one another.
People get confused about charges versus costs. So I'm not talking about charges. I'm not talking about what we bill the patients. What I'm talking about is what it really costs us to deliver that care. Does that make sense?
If it does not make sense to you, that's understandable. That was Representative Jason Broder, Dr. Carrie Pigman, also a state representative, and Dr. Vivian Lee, who was piped into the meeting from Utah. Remember, these are people who sit through healthcare committee meetings as a matter of course. They're kind of the state house experts on this stuff. So let's break down what price means in healthcare.
There's a cost, and the cost is the actual cost of providing the service.
Dr. Stephen Ullman is at the University of Miami's Business School. He heads up the Health Sector Management and Policy Department. And he says there's the cost to the hospitals or doctors or wherever you go to get your tests, that sort of thing. And that cost refers to what it takes to pay the electric bills and clean your operating room and pay the doctor and buy the cotton balls and all that overhead.
Then you have the charge master. And the charge master is the difference between what the cost is for the organization and essentially the list price. The charge master is the list price.
Got that? Charge master price is what the hospital bills you or the insurance company. Here's the catch. It's not necessarily even close to what they expect to be paid.
For a person who has no health insurance, they're going to pay full price, list price. And then in turn, you have negotiated prices. So if I have Aetna insurance or United or AvMed or Florida Blue or name your health insurance, the health insurance company has in turn negotiated a price lower than the list price.
So there's the cost to the hospital or the doctor or whoever. There's what they turn around and charge. And then there's the negotiated payment, which, by the way, those negotiated rates are kept secret behind non-disclosure agreements between insurers and providers. All of that leads to huge ranges in price for the patient, says Ullman. He's got a metaphor for it.
Let's say I want to get some Mugugai Pan. And Mugugai Pan, it runs at the takeout places I go to, about $10 for a large order. When you look at the price variation for something like ultrasound, with 47 providers, 47 Chinese restaurants, the range in price would be then equivalent to between $10 and $175. For Mugugai Pan, depending on where you went to. And that would be totally untenable in the Chinese takeout restaurant industry or almost any other industry you can think of. But in healthcare, this is common practice. This is what you see out there.
And that complex arrangement makes it really hard for patients to know what they'll end up paying. I'm Sammy Mack in Miami.
Price Check is a community-created database of healthcare prices. You can find it on our website, healthnewsflorida.org. Together, Health News Florida, WUSF, and WLRN are bringing you Price Check Florida. Recently, our partners at WLRN in Miami spoke with Jeannie Pinder, the founder of the Price Check Project, and Health News Florida's Sammy Mack. The discussion was hosted by Tom Hudson.
Sammy, will this project, will Price Check, bring transparency to healthcare in South Florida?
Well, if enough people collaborate and give us their information about what they paid, theoretically, yeah, it could. But in the interim, because this stuff is so complicated and there's actually a lot of disagreement around what transparency even means in healthcare, what we're trying to do is get enough information about what people are paying to start to understand what some of the influences are on the marketplace here.
Jeannie, so if there's disagreement about transparency, is there going to be disagreement about what a price paid is?
Yeah, well, it's interesting that you should ask that. We feel like you should know what stuff costs. So we as journalists survey providers on their cash or self-pay prices for 30 or so common shoppable procedures. What would you pay as an uninsured person? And from a range of providers in the Miami and Tampa Bay areas on things like an MRI, a cardio stress test, a CBC blood test, IUD, shoppable things like that.
So how does this work? How does this tool work? What's behind the scenes with the technology?
Yeah, so we load the database with the prices that we've collected from this range of providers, and then we make it really easy for you to share your prices. What you were charged, what insurance paid, what you paid, and also there's a box for how did you feel about it.
Hmm.
You can give us your email if you want to so we can reach back to you and look at your EOB. And then you see your figures in context with other people's figures and with those cash prices.
Sammy, there's plenty of other transparency tools out there. Most of the major health insurance companies have a transparency tool. Some big employers will have their own transparency tools. What's different about Price Check?
Well, what's different about Price Check is that when you look at the transparency tools that insurance companies have, for example, you can access the information about what gets paid on your behalf, but you have to be a member. And what we're doing is we're asking people to tell us those numbers, which is data that they own as patients who have had this paid on their behalf. And we'll be able to look sort of across platforms, across payers and insurers and all of that. Because what happens frequently is that negotiated rate, so what actually gets paid, not what gets charged, but like what actually gets paid on your behalf, is kept behind a non-disclosure agreement mm-hmm. between the provider, so the hospital or the doctor's office or the big group, and the insurance company. And that is where we have, as journalists, run into kind of a roadblock in terms of understanding what things truly cost in the system and what's driving those costs. So hopefully we can get enough of that information that that we'll be able to tell really meaningful stories out of it that we haven't had access to before.
Jeannie, about 30% of healthcare spending is done at hospitals. Why focus on specific line item charges, specific encounters, services, as opposed to kind of the total bill of an encounter?
So we're interested in total costs too, but because those hospital experiences, like for example, gallbladder surgery or something like that, has multiple entries in it, we're focusing on things that are very clearly apples to apples. An MRI of the lower back without contrast, CPT code 72148. You can compare that to
way out
other
in the weeds there, but those numbers are all important, yeah.
So to make sure that we're comparing apples to apples, that we have these sort of consistent procedures that we could compare, a well woman exam, an IUD, an ultrasound, so that we know that we don't have things that have multiple entries in it, like a surgical experience, as you mentioned, could be very complicated.
And the other thing that I want to add to that, too, is there's been this effort by the Florida Hospital Association to create a transparency tool that looks at the average charges and the average prices paid for all sorts of things that happen inside the hospital.
The 50 kind of most popular, most common medical procedures and encounters in a hospital situation,
yeah,
where hospitalization is taken into account.
Yeah, and that is a lot of people were really excited about that as kind of an opening start. But because it's hospitals, it's the stuff that you stay overnight for. So the really common stuff isn't in there. So this is, again, like another way of getting at data that just isn't out there for people to look at this way.
Because, Jeannie, if hospitals account for about 30% of our healthcare dollar in terms of where we spend it, another 30% is spent on doctors and doctor services and visits. Where does PriceCheck encounter this kind of relationship that healthcare patients have with doctors?
So what's interesting about patients entering the healthcare marketplace is once you say, "Doc, how much is this going to cost?" Quite often the answer is, "We don't know. We can't tell you. You'll have to wait until we send it through the insurance company." We don't think that's right. We think all the prices should be public all the time. All the charge prices, the cash prices, what your out-of-pocket is going to be before you enter a common procedure.
Doesn't this allow the facilities that are on the higher end of those charges, or perhaps the facilities that are in the lower end of the charges, be able to raise their prices, knowing that others in the market are getting paid maybe 50%, 60%, 70% more than they are?
Well, what we found is quite the opposite. When prices are public, those high-end, the recipients of high-end payments actually get kind of embarrassed and ask if they could please not be publicly shamed for having really high prices.
That experience, because you've done this price check program in San Francisco, you've done it in Philadelphia. What are the lessons that you've seen early on from those pioneer projects, and any early trends you've been able to pick up in the database you've constructed already for Florida?
The biggest trend I think I would say is that people are really upset about healthcare pricing and they want answers. They also want to contribute to a solution. We've learned that people are really eager to put their healthcare information online, which was a total surprise when we started out doing this. And we're really happy as journalists to join hands with our communities on these efforts. As far as early trends in the Florida data, you guys, Florida, you have really, really, really low MRI prices. Like, we should all be flying down to Florida to have our MRIs. It's that much cheaper.
Is that a function of competition, of the number of MRI facilities that are available?
I expect that we will figure out and write a great story about it. What's up with that, Florida?
Yeah, indeed. What is up with that? Well, if you've got an MRI price you want to contribute, you can do so. We just launched this on Thursday, and we got an email from Sue in Miami spelling this situation out and asking a question here. And I want to put it to both of you, Sammy and Jeannie. Sue wrote us, "Healthcare providers now ask for a credit card upfront to either charge what they estimate the patient's responsibility will be or hold until after the insurance processes the claim. I was told if I didn't pay upfront or leave a credit card on file, I couldn't have the procedure done. I don't like the idea of leaving my credit card open for a doctor or facility to charge whatever amount they decide at a later time. Why is this trend happening?" Jeannie, any answers for Sue?
I think what we're seeing is that there's a lot of chaos in the marketplace, and because of high deductibles, providers are having a hard time collecting either the deductible or the copay or coinsurance. I will say that Sue is not alone. I have a friend who went to a doctor's office in the great state of Florida, was asked that very same question, give us your credit card first. We can't tell you how much we're going to charge. And she said, sorry, and walked out.
Jeannie Pender is our technology partner on this project. She is the founder and CEO of Clear Health Costs, joining us from New York City. Sammy Mack, our project reporter on Price Check. This program, this project will continue through at least the end of this calendar year. It is a crowdsourced effort looking at healthcare prices in the state of Florida. This is not the last time, of course, we'll be talking about it here. But thanks to both of you for joining us today.
Coming up,
it's not a coincidence that healthcare is the only industry where there's no real prices. In effect, the healthcare industry is really on the honor system, and the honor system is not working.
We'll bring you more on Price Check Florida. I'm Carson Cooper. This is Florida Matters. I'm Carson Cooper. This is Florida Matters. Getting or staying healthy can cost you, but how much has always been a nagging question. Health News Florida is hoping to offer some clarity with Price Check Florida. We continue now with Health News Florida's Sammy Mack, the lead reporter on the Price Check Florida project.
Price Check is a reporting project examining the cost of healthcare in Florida. You can help us untangle healthcare prices by using our Price Check tool to upload your prices and see what other people paid. Stephen Weissman is a healthcare and commercial litigation lawyer, and for a period in 2013, he was the interim president of Palm Springs General Hospital in Hialeah. The previous head of the hospital had been a friend and client, and when he died, Weissman stepped in. What he saw while he was there turned Weissman into an advocate for healthcare price reform. What did you find when you started running that hospital?
Well, this hospital was run great, followed all the rules and regulations, but what I learned is that our system is absolutely broken and heartbreaking in terms of the economics and how patients are treated.
What do you mean by broken? What did you see specifically that was surprising to you?
One thing that rose to my attention was I couldn't find out how much competing hospitals were getting each year as contracts were negotiated with insurance companies. And it kind of shocked me that that information was secret, since all consumers also need that information.
Put me in the room when the negotiations started around these contracted rates. This was the first time you'd sat in on one of these things?
I didn't even sit in on them. I just know that we had people who were negotiating the insurance company rates, and they were complaining that they thought we were getting shortchanged and that the competing hospitals were getting higher rates. So my question was, okay, how much are the hospitals down the street getting? And they said, we can't find out. It's confidentiality agreements.
To which you said?
I had to go check. It was hard for me to believe that that could be a secret, since every member of the insurance company, everybody who has a policy, needs to know that information. You know, at that point, I didn't do anything about changing the system because you're in an unchangeable system. It was a very hectic time because the person who had passed away, my client, managed every aspect of the business. And I was trying to fill that gap. But what to do about it, I had time to reflect on after I left the position as the interim president.
After you saw just how secret the pricing is, what did that change about how you saw the rest of the healthcare system?
It's been talked about for decades that the rates of increase in terms of exceeding the inflation rate are unsustainable, and nothing's ever been done about it. It's not a coincidence that healthcare is the only industry where there's no real prices. In effect, the healthcare industry is really on the honor system, and the honor system is not working. For example, the only place where healthcare is not on the honor system is Medicare, because Medicare has set rates. And in Medicare, it's recognized that price gouging and fraud are so widespread that to protect the U.S. Treasury, there's a special Medicare fraud strike force. Hundreds of doctors, physicians, people involved in the industry are arrested, charged with crimes, and huge penalties are imposed. But if you're an individual, you're not a Medicare patient, you're on your own. And because the actual pricing is not disclosed, if you're price gouged, you can't even determine what the price was supposed to be. And there's no consumer protection for patients, unlike any other industry.
You wrote about these things in an article that got published in the Florida Bar Journal. Tell me a little bit about what you laid out in that article.
Well, I think the newest thing that I put in that article that I hadn't seen anybody write about anywhere is that when you go into a hospital, any hospital, you're signing a contract that says you're agreeing to pay their ordinary, reasonable, customary rates, language like that. And the truth is that their so-called charge master prices, which is basically their list prices, those are only charged to the nowadays roughly 10% of people who don't have health insurance or who may get stuck out of network, not covered by health insurance. But 90% of the people who go into a hospital are paying negotiated rates. They're all different rates, but they're negotiated by health insurance companies. So if you happen to be out of network or not have insurance, and the hospital sends you a big bill for their list prices, I made the argument in the Bar Journal article that it actually constitutes fraud, because they've misrepresented to you that those are their ordinary list prices. They're generally charged rates, and they're not. And in Florida, actually, the law is, which people don't generally know, that regardless of any contract you sign with a hospital, they're only allowed to charge you a reasonable price.
What happened next?
I was hoping the world would change after I wrote that article, which of course it didn't. And I began a petition on change.org called End Predatory Healthcare Pricing. Over 100,000 people signed that petition, which just simply made the point that it's necessary to have real prices in healthcare, because health insurance premiums, which is what our politicians generally talk about, they're just a straight arithmetic function of underlying costs. If you don't reduce doctor's bills, hospital bills, pharmaceutical bills, there's no way to make a substantial dent in the cost of health insurance.
Stephen Weissman ran Palm Springs General Hospital in Hialeah as interim president in 2013. Earlier this year, the hospital was sold to Larkin Community Hospital of South Miami for about $40 million.
PriceCheck is a community-created database of healthcare prices. You can find it on our website, healthnewsflorida.org. We go now to highlights of a discussion on how healthcare pricing could affect the company you work for. It was moderated by our Health News Florida partners at WLRN. Sammy Mack and Tom Hudson bring you a conversation on healthcare costs from the employer perspective.
If you're like most people younger than 65, you probably get your health insurance through a job. It's a system that began to become the norm in the decades after World War II. For workers, the money you spend on your employer-based insurance premium is taken right out of your paycheck before taxes are figured in. That allows you to pay less in taxes. By buying insurance with a group of people, your coworkers, for instance, or your spouse's coworkers, the hope is it reduces the risks and thus can reduce the cost.
The bigger the company, the idea goes, the more workers buying insurance, potentially lowering the cost of insurance for each person. For companies, paying a portion or all of that health insurance premium is figured into the overall cost of a worker. Running all this at the cruise line Royal Caribbean is a big job. It has more than 74,000 employees around the world, and 6,500 of them are in South Florida, making it one of the biggest employers here. Paul Parker is the Chief Human Resources Officer at Royal Caribbean. He goes by the HR dude.
I think the interesting thing about our company is that there's very few companies where people live where they work. And that's really the big differentiator. And there's very few companies where people are away for their families for 12 weeks at a time. So to figure out the way to create an employee experience that says, I'm not distracted so I can provide the best guest experience possible, is really what we're striving for.
Parker spoke with us about the challenges of insuring the employees of Royal Caribbean. He started by talking about the balancing act faced by all employers, big or small, finding the best health care coverage for the money.
Well, I think that we make trade-offs, and we try to make sure that people understand that this is our goal, is to make sure that we're remaining flat for our employees while enhancing the benefits. And at the same time, for our employees, we constantly kind of survey what things do they want, and so that we can design the plan for every individual. So if you're a single 20-year-old, you may not want to pay for insurance because you're healthy and you're invincible. So we try and create a high deductible plan. If you're a person that has a family, four kids, where they always are getting hurt, you may want to be in an HMO that allows you to pay a visitation fee, I like to call it, right? But have a low premium. And then so if we can provide three or four plans for each kind of spectrum of employee that we have, we feel like that we got great plan coverage, and at the same time, we can maintain our cost. And the real key for us is, I think you see a movement going more towards wellness and preventative care. And if we can incentivize our employees to stop smoking, to work out, do those things, we see our incident rate go down, which also drives our premiums down.
Even within South Florida, Paul, you have a geographic reach. How many different insurance carriers do you work with for health insurance locally?
One, actually. We just use the Blues. And I think
Florida Blue.
Florida Blue. Yeah. And so that's that gives us the chance to leverage and, you know, to kind of say, like, if you guys can't remain flat, we can go someplace else.
How involved are you in the networks? How much negotiation is there between you and the insurance companies about who's going to be in the network?
I think what we try to do, if we were going to make a switch, and say we were going to go with another insurance company like Aetna or somebody like that, we would, one of the key things we would want to know is what is the coverage? And we would just want to do a comparison to say what was going to be the drop off and kind of the doctors that were in the network that were going to go out of the network before we would make that switch, because it's a large communication to our employees. Because while you may think like, hey, I'm giving you $5 less a month that you have to pay, they're going to say, great, my doctor's not in the plan, I'm not happy. And so if there's a huge percentage of drop off, we would have to figure out if that was the right thing to do or how we would enroll those doctors.
How involved are you with the negotiated rates with the providers themselves and the insurance companies?
I would say we obviously have some partners and some consultants that help us with this, but ultimately it's our decision because they're our employees. So we got a lot of people that help us get to the right place, collecting the data and making the right decisions, but ultimately it's our plan design and our total rewards team works very hard on the design and the actual execution.
And have you ever had a... Have you ever seen something in your plans where you've been able to say, this is a thing that our employees use, we want it at a cheaper rate, and worked around something like that?
To be honest with you, it would be how easy is it to substitute, right? Because I think if the reality is if it's something that everybody uses, but you can't substitute it with something else, like it's like drugs or prescription drugs. Like not, you can say, we're just going to use generics and we're going to reward employees to take generics, right? And so you can drive that down. But if it's something that's not easily substitutable, there's not a lot of influence that you can have on it, even from a volume standpoint.
And one of those things that's not substitutable sometimes is geography.
Correct.
Are your employees communicating anything regarding the price of healthcare services that they're paying after your insurance kicks in?
That's an excellent question. I mean, tough question too. I don't. To be honest with you, I don't think we've asked them that. I have to think about it, but I don't think we've ever asked them, like, how do you feel? We ask them how they feel about their coverage, how do they feel about the network, how do you feel about the premiums that you pay, the service that you get, the availability of the services in your area, do we have the right amount of coverage? But I don't think we've ever asked them, like, how do you feel about after your copay, you know, after your insurance kicks in, the part that you pay? You know, I think employees in general really care about the quality of care, because I think if your child's sick or your child is injured, the last thing you're going to worry about is it going to cost me $50 more to go to this hospital. But so if this is the best hospital, it's near my neighborhood, I want to make sure it's in the network.
Paul Parker is the Chief Human Resources Officer at Royal Caribbean.
And that's it for today's show. You can share your healthcare prices in our database on our website, healthnewsflorida.org. Florida Matters is produced by Lottie Watts and engineered by Craig George. Florida Matters is a production of WUSF Public Media. I'm Carson Cooper. Thanks for listening.